In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. While a great deal of our energy and attention during the Advent season is appropriately given over to our Blessed Mother, allowing her to journey with us to support, sustain, and strengthen us, in addition, our other constant companions during the Advent season are Zechariah and Elizabeth, and of course, the cousin of our Lord, John the Baptist. The herald's voice in the desert, crying out, "Now is the time to be prepared, to be ready, to allow the Lord to do the things that need to be done in order that you may indeed see the salvation of God." John is an appropriate figure for any age, but especially the age in which we find ourselves today, precisely because the world is in need of men who care nothing about the world. The world is in need of men who courageously, willingly shed their blood in defense and proclamation of the truth, not being concerned, as St. Paul himself makes manifest in his exhortation to the Corinthians, as to the judgments of the tribunals of men. These things are inconsequential. All that matters is that I seek praise, relationship with God, do the things that God asks of me. And this is what we have been involved in our Advent season, preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ, for that experience of Christ, so that in the fullness of time, in each moment of our day, we can do the things that God asks us to do. And as it has been, and it always will be, so it is now, that there is something required of us. There is sacrifice required of us. There is suffering required of us. These are real and true things. And regardless of the source of that suffering, whether it be the vagaries of the human condition, or the societal concerns with which we all must contend, or even at the hands of Holy Mother Church herself, what is required of us is that we remain steadfast and constant. Our battle will always be with the world, wherever we may find that. But the way we battle and engage the world is not on the terms of the world, but with that reality that conquered sin and death once and for all, and that was the Lord's cross. I have preached about this before, but many years ago, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, Monsignor Pope, a great priest of the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., frequent commentator on things of society and culture, wrote, as he often does, a very pithy, very direct article and a reflection on an inability of modern man to embrace the heart of Christianity, which is the cross. Basically put, he says, we're weak and lazy, prone to making our lives simple for ourselves because we don't want to be put out, we don't want things to be difficult, we don't want to be inconvenienced. And in an age that tells you that indeed you can have everything you want, this might seem to be pleasing. But then when we rub up against not getting what we want, how we wanted, when we wanted, all of a sudden we don't know what to do because we've not carried our crosses. We've not embraced sacrifice and suffering. This may seem slightly incongruous, so close to our Christmas season, as if somehow as we move toward the celebration of the Incarnation, the only thing we can be is happy, happy, joy, joy. But the cross doesn't disappear. The cross doesn't become secondary in the mystery of the Incarnation. Rather, the cross is a manifestation of the power and the fullness of the reason why he came, to suffer and die in order that we might live. If we want authentic joy, true and abiding happiness and peace, it will come about by willingly accepting the sacrifices that we are asked to endure and embracing them with joy. And therein lies the difficulty. It is in truth easy to accept suffering because in the final analysis, we have no choice but to accept it. It comes to us whether we want it or not, whether we are prepared or not. What separates us from the rest of the world, what separates us from those who do not believe because we do believe, what separates us from those who truly embrace the mystery of our Lord and the mystery of the Incarnation, is that when those crosses come, we don't run away. We don't reject them. Instead, we embrace them and we find therein the peace and the solace for which we are constantly searching. And if the words I'm offering to you somehow engender some degree of, enthusiasm and energy, remember this the next time you have to suffer. Because it sounds good when I'm preaching it up here. It's when we have to live it that it becomes difficult for us. And I am as guilty of that as I might accuse you of being guilty. It is a hard thing to embrace the cross. But the precursor, John the Baptist, knew the reason for which he was born: to rise, to live, to eventually die, in order that the one coming after him, the one who was greater than he could ever be, he too would suffer and die in order that we might live. As we now approach the celebration of the fullness of the incarnation and prepare ourselves for Christ coming to us, we are mindful of the great blessing that the Father bestows upon us by giving us the gift of his Son. This is the only way that salvation will come to us. This is the only peace that the world will truly ever know, embrace, or understand. If you are searching for something else, if you are unwilling to actually sacrifice and suffer in order that this peace may truly prosper in the world, then the reality of our life of faith may simply not be for you. I'm not sure what I would offer you in its place, because there is nothing to offer in its place. But what I offer to you really is not of my own, as St. Paul himself often makes clear. Rather, it is that which was given to me to pass on to you, that you might pass it on to others as well. And it's because of this constancy, this consistency, this perennial truth that we know indeed it is from God. Because man has stood in the way of this from the very beginning. He has fought God tooth and nail every step of the way. They have resisted mankind, all of the overtures that God has brought forth to bring salvation. And yet salvation is indeed here, that all mankind may see and live and embrace this salvation. And how do I know that we are redeemed by God? How do I know that redemption is real and true? Not only because I feel it in the very depths of my being, but because indeed of the world in which we live. For all the signs that seemingly that things are falling apart, the fact that we are here, the fact that we are in prayer, that indeed is sufficient and enough. Because indeed, if Abraham could ask God one man remaining who is holy and true, that he would spare them, there are so many more of us seeking that holiness, knowing that God indeed will spare us the wrath to come. Fidelity, constancy, perseverance. These truly are the foundations of our lives in the Spirit. And this is how we truly prepare ourselves for the salvation that God brings by giving us the gift of his Son. That regardless of what it is that swirls around us, or those things with which we must contend in the world, whatever they may be, however that may come to us, whatever suffering we are asked to endure, we are still able to do so and to do that with joy. There is no darkness where there is not indeed the light of God. There is nothing to fear about what men can do to us, because God is indeed more powerful. This is how we move now in this last week of our Advent season into the celebration of Christmas joy. Because the church, as I will prepare us to think about in this octave of Christmas, will draw our attention to the cross time and time and time again. We are never allowed to move away from the mystery of the Lord's cross, but it is not in conflict with the joy of Christmas. The two beautifully coalesce in the God-man who came among us to be one with us in all things but sin, that we might be set free from sin once and for all. In those moments where you might be tempted to compromise with the world, where it might seem easier to give oneself over to the world, where you might be reluctant to preach and proclaim truth, return to the Son of Zechariah, St. John the Baptist, the herald's voice in the desert. And even if there is no one there in the desert to hear, cry out nonetheless, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, in order that all mankind may see the salvation which comes from God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.